This is an unusual Christmas for us, for all of us. It has been an unusual year, and normally we would have a bell choir. There would be a group of adults singing and groups of children singing and musicians playing, and there would be a lot more fanfare. But with the circumstances of this year, all of our plans, even our plans for this night, initially when we had hoped to be outside perhaps, and even that has been dashed, and the Lord has brought us inside, but that is okay. And so much has happened. So much has been upended. So many of our plans for this year, for the future, have been set on hold. And this year has been difficult in many ways for many of us. And for many, not just many of us, but for many in our own community. For our own families, for our neighbors. Uncertainty has reigned supreme. Anxiety, fear, anger pouring out in the streets. Loneliness, a sense of isolation. And there have been many who have felt the loss of loved ones. Not only loss of job, but the loss of loved ones themselves. And so it's understandable if, as Mr. Euler just a few minutes ago led us in reading Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15, that you would have heard, rather verse 14, if you would have heard the message of the angels to those shepherds sitting on the hillsides, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It would be understandable if when we read that, it felt and rang a little hollow. It's a legitimate question to ask. Does God really intend to give peace on earth? Is there any goodwill toward men? This is not a question that's new to us, however. You know, Christians especially have struggled with this question for generations, for centuries. In 1861, there was a man by the name of Henry. And he was taking a midday nap, which is a glorious experience. I know many of us will have tomorrow, I hope. But he woke up from his midday nap to the tortured screams of his wife. He rushed to the room where the screams were coming from, and there he saw his wife. This is 1860, large dresses. His wife's dress had caught on fire, and she was engulfed in the flames, desperately trying to put them out. He immediately threw himself on top of his wife, and with his own body, kept trying to smother the flames until they were all put out. His wife, however, her burns were so severe that while she lived the night, she passed away the next morning. Henry himself was so severely burned that when it came time for her funeral, he was not well enough to be able to attend. And he was so burned himself that just to cover up the scars on his face, he grew out a long beard, thick and mangy, to kind of hide what the fire had marked. Henry was left as a single dad of six children. And for years, one of his greatest fears was that his family, his extended family, or the authorities would put him in an asylum because of his grief. It was overwhelming to him. Well, in 1863, unbeknownst to Henry, his eldest son, Charles, most likely trying to leave the gloomy grief of home, left home secretly and joined Lincoln's army in a bid to free the slaves, in a bid to protect the Union. He went to war, and Henry did everything he could to try to protect his son, but his son made himself accomplished as a cavalryman, and there was often in the heat of battle. And Henry was tortured with fear that not only would he lose his wife, he would also lose his son. And on December 1st, 1863, Henry received a letter informing him that his son had been injured. Initially, the report was that his son had been shot in the face with a musket ball and that it was expected to, he was expected to die. He would soon learn that that first report was wrong. The musket ball had hit him in the back and ran along his back, along his shoulders, almost severing his spine and paralyzing him. Initially, doctors and surgeons thought that he would never walk again or have the use of his arms and legs. Eventually, after many surgeries, they thought and believed that Charles would make a long recovery, but it was going to be months, years. And so Henry, a single dad of six, caring for his eldest son, still afraid for what may come of his son's life, caring for his son on Christmas Day of 1863, heard the church bells ringing in the holiday. And he began to meditate on his own personal loss, his own pain, the uncertainty of what would happen with his own son. He began to meditate on the fact that his experience had been repeated across the United States 1,000-fold, 10,000-fold, 100,000-fold. Families were being ripped apart. States, communities were being ripped apart. The conflict was great between the North and the South. Meditating on all that, Henry, we would better know him as Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, writes the well-known hymn, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." And generally, when this hymn is sung or repeated, usually you get just a few of the verses. There are seven in total that he wrote. And I'm going to read them all. They're short. But you will notice that there are two turns that Henry takes. One toward the grief and pain. You can feel that. And then one in the final verse of hope. He writes this: "I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men, till ringing, singing in its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Then," and here's that first turn, "then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered from the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the houses born of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Then," here's that second turn, "then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, gripped with grief and uncertainty, living in an age torn asunder by hatred, torn asunder by conflict, came to see that it was only in Christ that there can be peace on earth. As he says there at the end, God will judge the right and the wrong. God will hold all of us accountable, all men. So for there to be peace on earth, we must first have peace with God. And Henry Wadsworth Longfellow and the angels and all the testimony of Scripture calls out for us to recognize this truth, that peace on earth, peace with God, is not something that you and I can achieve for ourselves. It is not as if God is someone on some high and lofty mountain that we can all work and find our way and forge our own way that we would prefer, that we enjoy. God knows far better than all of us that peace with Him is not something that we can attain. No matter how good we are or how authentic we are to our true selves, nor how religious or spiritual we may be. Instead, in Jesus, God has come down to us and shown us the only way to Him, the only way to have peace with God. It is not that we forge our way up to God, it is that God Himself came to be with us. And that peace on earth, goodwill toward men, began on Christmas Day. It began with the incarnation of Christ. And the price of that peace on earth, goodwill toward men, was paid by Christ at the cross when He suffered in the place for sinners, as you and I are. And that peace on earth was guaranteed when Jesus rose from the dead. The greatest gift of Christmas can't be put under the tree. The greatest gift of Christmas hung on a tree. And He hung on that tree so that all who repent and turn from living our own way may find at last what Henry Wadsworth Longfellow so desired: peace on earth. Peace with God. And it is the same peace that countless people who have put their faith in Christ have experienced firsthand. So many of us in this room have known that peace with God. And Christmas is not just a holiday, it is the solution to the world's ills. 2020 finds its answer in Christmas. In the giving of God, of His own self, of His own Son, in Christ Jesus. And our hope and prayer this Christmas is that if you have not found nor known this peace, that you will find it. I encourage you, if you are at all interested, there is, in that worship guide, you will find the information for the church, my own personal information, my email. I'd encourage you to contact me personally. I'd love to talk with you. How you can have this peace for yourself. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you who have put your faith in Jesus and have tasted of this peace, my prayer for you is that you will taste afresh, that you will taste and see that the Lord is good in a special way this Christmas. That through all the uncertainty of this year, there is one bedrock certain truth. That with Christ, in Christ, you have peace with God. We live in an uncertain world, but because of Him, we do not have an uncertain hope. We have in Jesus peace. Peace with God. Now in God's own goodwill toward us. That is our prayer for one another and our prayer for you all. Would you join me in praying before we continue again in song? Our Father in heaven, we long to see and to know and to experience this peace on earth of which angels sang. Father, we thank you for giving your own Son. That the truth of peace with you is not merely a story for an old dusty book. It is not a myth nor a legend. It is a true and certain testimony of what took place and of what we may experience ourselves through Christ himself. Oh God, I pray that this Christmas we will savor your Son, our Savior, Christ Jesus, all the more richly. It is in his holy name we pray. Amen.